Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. The sun is shining bright, and spring is springing on us. With the warmth of the sun and life is beginning to be fun again, and the flowers are filling the atmosphere with color and with sweet scented smells. Our fears are being allayed as we continue to entrust our lives into the hands of the Lord. We have been looking at the chapter 3, verse 16 of various books of the Bible. So far, we have looked at John, 1 Timothy, and Corinthians. And for today, we'll be looking at Joshua, chapter 3, verse 16. And a message entitled, "You Won't See Until You Look." The Bible is filled with messages emphasizing this point, and I'll read out a few. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who seeks will find, and everyone who knocks will have the door opened." From these messages, the Bible is asking us to make the first move. Seek. Pray. Knock. And the door shall be opened for you. If you really want it, you should be looking for it. Two young men won a scholarship to study in New York. And while they were there, they decided to visit Manhattan to admire the tall buildings and all the wonderful architecture there was. So there in Manhattan were those two young men strolling along the streets. Then all of a sudden, one of them said, "Look, I can hear a cricket chirping." His friend said, "Oh, man, what do you mean you can hear a cricket chirping? Where can a cricket be in the streets of Manhattan? Look, even all the trees that you see are named and numbered. The grass is being cared for daily with insecticides and pesticides. How can a cricket be here? Come on, grow up. We are not back in the village." So they kept walking on. But his friend kept saying, "I can hear a cricket chirping. I can hear a cricket chirping." He said, "My friend, just be real and stop thinking and daydreaming about the village. So, as they were walking, the friend said, "Now I can hear the chirping even louder." So he broke off, taking the lead, and then walked towards a crevice in one of the buildings. And there indeed was a cricket chirping. So he told his friend, "I told you I could hear a cricket. Look, here it is. There is a cricket in Manhattan." Now, why am I telling this story? It was because this friend was listening. It was because this friend had trained himself to listen to this voice, this small voice that was chirping. It is in the same way that God is asking us to do. He is there, and we have to seek him, because we won't see him until we look for him. He is not hiding. He is there, right in front of us, but he is calling us to seek him. The Israelites have been in captivity for 400 years. And after cries to Pharaoh to let my people go, they have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years in search of the promised land. If you have ever spent time in the wilderness of life, then you have probably spent time thinking about the promised land, that place where life will be better, more settled, and easier. Each one of us could tell a story of life in the wilderness. It is that place where life is just difficult. It is a struggle to get up each morning and make it through the day. In the wilderness, we walk and walk and get nowhere. No matter what we do, progress seems to elude us. You feel lost, confused, and not sure which way to go or what to do. In the wilderness, it takes all your effort just to survive. Life in the wilderness is exhausting. In the wilderness, you have to face up to yourself and your life. There is no place to hide. And this was what the Israelites were going through this 40 years. Trials and temptations, successes and failures. But they were looking for the promised land. We all have some idea of what the promised land will be like. Our promised land generally corresponds to our wilderness experience. So for most of us, the promised land is either a return to the way things used to be, the good old days, or a jump forward into an idealized future. Either way, we want to escape the wilderness. So for those who wander in the wilderness of deep sorrow, loss, and tears, the promised land might be a place of joy, where memories no more cripple, tears no longer flow, and life becomes meaningful. For those who know the wilderness of fear, the promised land is about security, control, and predictability. In the wilderness of unhappiness, we long for the promised land of fulfillment and meaning. Sometimes the wilderness is simply about moving, changing, and growing. For 40 years, the Israelites have been roaming the wilderness in circles. Now they stand on the brink of reaching the promised land. The two spies sent to Jericho in chapter 2 have returned, having followed Joshua's orders to check out the land and city. They had escaped discovery and capture with the help of Rahab, and now they give their report to Joshua. Their hearts were beginning to burst with joy, as they said in Joshua chapter 2, verse 24, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting with fear because of us." Why? Because they have heard of the wonderful doings of the Lord in the desert, in the wilderness. They have heard how the Lord parted the Red Sea for his people. They have heard of the various battles that the Israelites fought and won with these. They have heard of the kings that have been destroyed and conquered by the Israelites. This was the news Joshua had been waiting for. Immediately, he dispatched men throughout the vast camp of Israel and announced that first thing in the morning, they would break camp and pitch their tents on the banks of the River Jordan. They would finally have come to the entry point of the promised land. But as they approached the famous river that formed a barrier between them and their longed-for promised land, what they saw was both confusing and dreadful. A river in flood stage, overflowing its banks. There is no crossing in sight. The river is 150 miles in length, so they cannot go around it. There are no bridges. The way is blocked. The river is impassable. More often than not, that is how our Jordan River looks. We forget, however, that this is not our time or place. God has chosen and brought Israel to this time and place, even as God chooses and brings us to the time and place for our own river crossing. The only way across is through the river. We forget that God is right there with us. He has promised us he will never leave us nor forsake us, and that when we pass through the waters, he will be with us. He will be with us when we pass through the rivers, and they will not sweep over us. He was there as Noah drifted across the flood waters that swept away the old and receded to reveal a new world, a new life, a new relationship with God. He wrestled with Jacob in the night, blessed and renamed him, and watched him limp across the Jabbok River with a new identity, Israel. He called his people out of bondage in Egypt and through the Red Sea to a journey of salvation. Every crossing is an act of God's faithfulness. Now, Israel had to consecrate themselves and follow God's instructions. The priests had to carry the Ark of the Covenant, leading with 1,000 yards between them and the people into the Jordan. As soon as the feet of the priest touched the water, Joshua 3:16 tells us, The water upstream stopped flowing. It stood up in a heap a great distance away at Adam, my town near Zeraton. The water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, which is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed the river near Jericho. Like Israel, we stand on the edge of the Jordan. The only way into the promised land is through the flood waters of life. How deep is it? How solid is the bottom? Is it slippery? How strong is the current? How far across is the river? What is on the other side? These are not questions to be answered before we step into the river of new life. Ultimately, it is God that takes us across the Jordan. God did not hold back the water for Israel before they put their feet in it. It is only after they stepped into the river that God acted. The waters do not part until we step out in faith, until our feet are dipped into the impassable river. Over and over again in Scripture, this pattern is repeated. The Israelites had to march to the Red Sea before God parted it. Naaman had to wash himself 7 times in the Jordan before God cured him of his leprosy. Gideon had to reduce his army from 32,000 to 300 before God will deliver them from the Midianites. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes were given up before Jesus multiplied them. Peter had to obey Jesus and row out into the deep before he could catch a boatload of fish. It's easy for us to relate to the emotions and thoughts of Israel. So many of us face personal Jordans that feel so permanent and powerful that we even don't try to make it across. Our lives feel stalled, stuck on the wrong side of God's promises. We read about the abundant life, but can't make it out of the wilderness. When you obey God, God can turn a nowhere into a highway. The great question that loomed over the camp of Israel and over our lives today is, will we walk by sight or by faith? Do we really believe that God can handle the impossible? Joshua 3 gives a demonstration of something that is echoed in scriptures. Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Luke 18, verse 27. One step is all it takes. One step. As soon as Israel's feet were dipped in the edge of the water, God acted. The flowing of the water stood still. There was dry land, and all the people crossed over. With that one step, we follow the ark of God's presence into the Jordan. We all have that one step, the first step that we need to take. Take that first step, and you will have given God something with which to work. The flood waters of your life will be parted. Dry land will be revealed, and the way forward will be opened to you. What is that first step for you? Maybe your first step is to offer another forgiveness and reconciliation. Maybe it is to let go of anger and resentment. Sometimes the first step is simply to be quiet, still, and listen to what God is saying. Maybe it is to let go of being in control and being right all the time. Maybe it means you no longer let fear dominate your life. Perhaps the first step is to risk intimacy and vulnerability. Maybe that one step is taking responsibility of your own life. I don't know your first step, but God does, and He's waiting for you to take it. I do not know when or how you will cross your Jordan, but I know that it happens one step at a time, and the first step always takes us to a new land, to a new way of being, and to a new life, God's life. Step out in faith. Get your feet wet. God can help us overcome every obstacle that we face in life. A Jordan stretches before us. The challenges are too much for us. We must believe that nothing is too difficult for God. We must focus on Christ and follow Him. We must cast all our sins and burdens aside and set ourselves apart to Him. And we must be ready to move when He does His work. Always being mindful that if anything is going to happen, it is going to come from the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we repent of all our foolish ways in our desert experience. You have brought us to the Jordan, and now we can see the promised land across the river. We acknowledge that we cannot make it across without you. Take our hands, Lord, as we make the step of faith and proclaim that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, believing that nothing is too difficult for you. Help us to fix our eyes on you, as on the Ark of the Covenant, going before us through the Jordan. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.